So recently I've had 2 weeks to think about this, but I remember you posed that question of
Oh, ask a white
what does a white guy in the middle of nowhere do, right? And for the life of me, I could not think of something.
You don't have a question?
No, because so Toronto is actually not too far away from the farmlands of the state we're in. We call it province, you guys call it state, but the province is Ontario, and Ontario has quite a bit of farmland. So I'm already quite familiar with, what it's like to be in buttfuck middle of nowhere. Because sometimes when I'm driving up north or something, the drive is literally all farmlands. They're just split up into different grids, really large grids, like rectangular shaped pieces of land, and you're driving for trying to think of the equivalent of kilometers. So 100 kilometers would probably be 60 miles.
60 miles,
Yeah,
yeah,
60
something like
miles,
that.
because 60 miles per hour equals 100 kilometers per hour. So yeah, like 60 miles of just driving through farmlands. Is that an accurate depiction of what it's like living in Twin Falls?
Twin Falls, yes and no. The farmland is all kind of the same, I'm assuming. In fact, I'm willing to bet if you just like planted a couple people in Toronto or wherever up there on the farmland, and then here it would all be relatively similar. Maybe like different brands of stuff. I don't know. Just huge swaths, like you were saying, square fields. But like in Idaho, the one difference is, and I don't know if you can answer this question or not. In Idaho, all the fields are irrigated. So they have pivots, they have wheel lines, they have water being sprayed on them all the time. And we've got a ton of reservoirs that distributes that water from the rivers and stuff to fields. There's a big canal system. So, ton of water going everywhere. But like if you go out to South Dakota or the Midwest, it's like dry land farming and they rely on rain to have the crops grow. And there's like no irrigation. So there's not a whole bunch of canals and stuff. That is where it's just like field after field after field after field as far as the eye can see. And then like every little field or every few fields has got maybe a tree line, and then they've got a little house there with a shop and that kind of thing, and it just goes on forever. So I'm assuming it's relatively similar to what you see.
Okay.
Can you answer that question though?
The irrigation one,
Yep.
no.
You don't
I
know.
don't know. I don't know much about farms, but when I do look at the land, it doesn't seem as if most of them have that full setup that you're talking about.
They don't have it.
No,
They do.
some might, or maybe most might, but from what I see, that's not what I'm looking at when I drive through that area. That's not what I see. Sometimes I'll just see a house. Yeah, I definitely don't see that often.
You don't see these at all.
I'll see that maybe during, if you pass by a couple wineries, maybe you'll see pivots,
Yep.
just to take care of their crops and whatnot. But I don't see that often at
Yeah,
your typical
there's probably
farm
not
that
a
you're driving by.
lot. I think you're probably more dry land type farming out there,
I think
but
so. I think they do rely more on rain.
we also here in Southern Idaho have a pretty big dairy industry. There's a ton of cows, feedlots, cows. So that kind of breaks it up too, but
Makes
yeah.
sense. Yeah, our Fairlife Milk has this badge on it that says Dairy Farmers of Canada.
Yes.
I'm assuming you guys don't have that.
I'm not of Canada, but I'm sure of wherever the milk's coming from. Cool.
Anyways, good little conversation right there about the differences, subtle
Farming.
differences. Actually, one more. How
Okay.
far is the nearest supermarket from you?
like a Walmart?
Sure, a supermarket.
10 minutes from where I live right now. Yeah.
Okay. And then what about when you were out in South Dakota?
We did have a Walmart in that town. Yep. So it wasn't necessarily, it wasn't that podunk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think about the people that live on farms and they're literally 20 minutes out from the nearest supermarket.
Yeah. So like where Tess grew up, my fiance, she grew up probably like an hour from any supermarket. They had like the little, like out in the middle of nowhere, South Dakota, there was a town of like 300. They had a convenience like gas station in their town. And then I think the closest grocery store, which I wouldn't consider a supermarket, the closest grocery store was probably 20. And then to get into Walmart from where they lived was like an hour, which is pretty crazy.
Wow.
And then like the bigger stuff, it was probably 2 hours to get to like something like a Shields or a Costco or one, some of those bigger things. So, yeah.
Okay. So Costco is one of those trips you make maybe once every 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Or whenever, who knows? Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Cool.
Learn something there.
Yes.
Anyways, there was a tweet that Sam had today on July 18th that poses a little bit about the difference, that kind of a disconnect that some trainers might have with their clients. And there could be a little bit of a disconnect between what they believe beginners need versus what they actually need. So what Sam's tweet was is, you know, Sam, kind of read it out. And
I don't like reading
that for us. You don't want to read it out? Just read it out.
Okay. So it said, online guru, I spent 10 years building my body, training like a psycho. Now I maintain it with 2 20-minute workouts per week. And then the program that they sell is 2 20-minute workouts a week is all regular guys like you need to lose 50 pounds and be jacked. So buy my program. And we're clearly missing something here, which is train for like a psycho for 10 years. That's the big thing that people don't want to sell. But that stuff's hard. That's hard to sell. Whereas if you got some dude scrolling social media and you're saying that your program is going to get him to lose 50 pounds and be jacked and look like me, all you got to do is 2 20-minute workouts a week. Like that'll sell like popcorn at the movie theater. I just think that this is something that like the fitness industry as a whole does a really bad job, because like the coaches and the trainers, they act like what they're doing right now after maybe a decade of training or more is all that the noob needs to do. And they forget about the time when they were once wobbly under a barbell for the first time in favor of their little optimal hypertrophy cable curl machine split that works for them because they have a decade of growth built up. So then just, this is how like really fitness sales works though, right? This cycle just kind of continues. And then, you know, so that was kind of, I think I saw some people on Twitter, like posting their programs that were saying like, all you need is a few 10-minute workouts or like 3 15-minute workouts a week. And it's like anybody that actually trains hard and has a decent physique or is really strong knows that that is not true at all. Like there's a, when it comes to fitness and when it comes to getting stronger, I have to tell my clients all the time that, you know, it's hard. It's going to get harder and it's going to be intrusive. Like there's so many lifestyle things that you have to change, Not only do you have to show up for, 3 times a week for an hour or an hour and a half to train, but think about all the other stuff you have to do. You have to buy better food. You have to make sure you're recovering, making sure, you know, you're not going out on thirsty Thursdays and, you know, making sure you're eating right, and all the different changes that you have to make in order to make your training more productive. And that's the reality of the situation. You know this, that like if you want to train, like there's some things that you're going to have to do that are going to intrude on your lifestyle, and you have to make the changes. So I just feel like when, you know, coaches are trying to sell their programs that are easy or don't require a lot of time or effort, it's just bullshit for the most part. Yeah. Can you take some dude who like doesn't do shit and then have him do 2 20-minute workouts a week? Will he see a positive change from that? Yes. But is he going to look like the bodybuilder bro who's been training for a decade? No. So, you know, that's where I was coming from on it this morning.
Makes a lot of sense. And there are a lot of parallels to different industries too, where you'll see online marketers trying to sell, saying this is all you need. And same thing, I think there's a little bit of a disconnect on what the guru knows versus what he thinks the client or the prospect might know, right? And even when you're talking about this, maybe a prospect does not have all the experience in the world. They might literally not know jack about nutrition or about how hard they have to push themselves in the gym or about consistency. There are a lot of habits that they might have to quit, right? A lot of bad habits that they have to leave behind. That is a lot more difficult than simplifying it and saying there's all you need is a 20-minute workout twice a week. And it all boils down to the snowball effect, I think. At least that's how I like to think about it. The snowball effect takes a lot of time before the snowball builds up and gets to really large size. And once it gets to a really large size, then it can be more self-sustainable. But in the beginning, if you want to take the snowball from just a really small, you know, packing snowball that you can make with your hands all the way to the size of, I don't know, the size you would want to build a snowman, it's going to take some time to get to that point. And the parallel there is just to say that as a beginner, there is a lot more work that has to be done up front before you can get to the point where it's self-sustainable. And the guru is talking about the 20-minute workouts twice a week. Yes, you can get to a point like that in the future. But as Sam alluded to, it probably took them 10 years of training like a psycho before they even got to that point in the first place. Because maintaining muscle is a lot easier than building muscle. We talk about it all the time, right? With progressive overload, you got to constantly push yourself. You're always tracking the numbers and you're always trying to see where you can find improvement, and either by pushing an extra rep or by increasing the weight you're doing. And all that usually comes down to meticulous tracking and paying attention to what you're doing, right? And if you're not doing all those things, then you're probably not getting stronger. And if you're not getting stronger, the chances of you building muscle are very low. And that's what it all comes down to. So I think that's what you would probably call a snake's, what is it called again? A snake oil salesman.
Yeah.
Somebody that tries to sell you what they perceive to think you may need, but it's not actually true. So there's definitely a disconnect there between the trainers that believe they might know what a beginner needs versus what is actually needed. And sometimes I was telling Sam before we even started recording that sometimes I don't think that the snake oil salesman actually knows what they're doing here. I think a lot of them just have this belief that they might know what a beginner needs because that's how they've been living their lives for the longest time, right? And they completely forgot what it meant or what it was like to be a beginner back then when they first started. They kind of forgot how hard they had to push themselves in the gym, or they forgot about how difficult it was to track. Not difficult, but how difficult it was to learn how to do all these things. Because for them right now, it's second nature. But for them back then, it definitely wasn't.
Absolutely. There's almost this... I'm trying to word this right. There's this little bit of a pipeline that goes on that I've been seeing in the trend on like people on Twitter over the last little bit. And a lot of people that spent some time, a lot of time getting really strong. And again, we've had the barbell versus machine debate, right? We've talked this one through. And you see a lot of people that got really strong, really good physiques, you know, training heavy, slinging heavy weights. You know, they've been doing it for a long time, kind of switching over more to like machine-based hypertrophy, bodybuilding type stuff. And there's a few of them that do a really good job of explaining why they're doing it. They're like, hey, I've built up the strength. Now I'm going to, you know, maybe let the joints take it easy and working on some more specific hypertrophy stuff. You know, they've got some serious physique goals, right? So there's like the group that's doing it right. Like you can think guys like Francis, like they're kind of making that shift, and some of the other people that we've even had on the podcast before. But there's some others that aren't doing, that don't do that right, where they're like, where they've completely thrown away their background and what has made them successful and what's made their past clients successful. And then I'm seeing, you know, people in their comments or even people that maybe I've interacted with who have just like thrown out their barbell while they're squatting 275 and switched over to, you know, some short, quick machine based one hard set per body part type thing. And instead of just taking their squat from 275 to 405, because it's just easier to do those more simpler programs, right? You know, so it's the similar thing there. I just feel like it's as somebody in the fitness industry that has to do sales, right, to get clients into my door, it is very, very easy as you're talking to prospects or you're writing copy or whatever. Easy stuff sells a hell of a lot more than hard stuff. So like you walk in, say somebody's shopping to go get a trainer at some gyms, and this particular person is one that looks for shortcuts, that wants to just get the quick fix, that type of stuff. And they walk into my gym and I say, and as I'm talking to them, I say, well, this is going to be really fucking hard, right? We have a really simple process. It's not easy. We're going to add a little bit of weight. We're going to get you stronger. And we have a very defined process on how we're going to do that. This is going to be intrusive. You're going to have to make sure you're sleeping. You're going to have to make sure you know, go to the store and get a bunch of protein packed foods. You have to know that you're going to, you know, show up and carve out a couple hours, three times a week to come in and train. And then 6 months from now, like it's going to be so hard that you're going to want to quit. And my job is to make sure you don't quit on yourself. Whereas they go to another gym, or maybe they see somebody online that says, hey, I've trained people for decades. Look at my physique, and I can get you looking like me with 2 20-minute workouts a week. And you're just, what's the person going to choose? Right? Like if you were to buy some like business coaching, who are you most likely going to buy from? The person that tells you all this shit is going to be really hard and it's going to take dedicated work for a long period of time, which is the reality of business. Or the one that says, I'm going to get you to 10K months in 30 days.
In three simple steps.
With three simple steps. Here's a PDF, you know? So that's just where people are coming from. And so I always respect the coaches that are very upfront about how difficult it is and that it's not going to be easy. And I'm going to be honest, like as soon as somebody says, this is going to be what my program is easy, I'm going to help you easily lose, you know, 50 pounds. You know that it's just bullshit, right?
50 pounds is crazy tough. That's not something that's No,
that
easily
doesn't just
talked
happen.
about.
Yeah, exactly. That like just doesn't happen. And especially if you need to lose 50 pounds, you're so far gone that you need to increase your activity and lower the amount of calories you're eating. So much so that it is going to take a lot more than 20 minutes, 2 times a week, in order for this to happen. So, unless you just want to sit there and not eat anything at all.
Great point. Great.
So, that actually made me like, as I was thinking about this, like it makes me want to readjust how I consult with people when it comes to them coming into the gym, really emphasizing the difficulty up front and making sure that they're committed. I think I do a good job of that, but I could almost do it better.
Even
Because that's
if
really
you
what it
look at,
takes.
that's true. That's true. But even if you look at the guru trainers that do make those quick sales, the question is how many success stories do they probably have?
Oh,
And you
yeah.
probably look through the websites and you see a ton of testimonials. But the question is, were those testimonials from what they're prescribing right now? Or was it probably from something else that the client had given or the client had been given from the trainer in the past that was
Oh, yeah.
probably fairly accurate in terms of what they need to be doing.
Oh,
So
yeah.
that's where you have to be a little bit careful too, because I know testimonials get recycled all the time. And once a trainer gets a testimonial, they'll use it like liquid gold. And you got to be very careful where you see it, because they can use that same testimonial for one product that they had done. Let's say they did a total body transformation over a 9 month period where somebody went from A to B in 9 months. They might use that exact same testimonial to sell you on another program or another product that they might have. And that's probably what's happening there, where that 20-minute workout twice a week is being sold using a testimonial that of a client that was successful doing some completely other thing. Maybe they were
Probably
doing
like a
barbells.
more customized plan with
Exactly.
more accountability, with more, maybe they were even in the gym with the trainer and the trainer was able to kick the person's ass the whole time. Whereas now it's like, again, an Excel spreadsheet or some type of program online. And, it's just the art of coaching people on this stuff is kind of just transitioning more into kind of like an information war, or maybe that's the wrong way of saying it. What people are trying to do from like a business perspective, I can understand. It the traditional job is like a fitness coach is kind of rough, weird hours, right? Dealing with people all the time. So it is easier to kind of like build up a spend time, and you see this a lot. People spend time, coaching a lot of people and then start getting a little clout online and then just sell programs instead of like doing the coaching on the floor and stuff. But I understand, because it's a lot easier to just sit there and watch your, post on Instagram or post on Twitter, this program that you have, and then people can buy it, and whether they use it or not, you get paid, right? So it's just a lot easier from a business perspective to do that. So it's no longer, the art of actually coaching somebody. Now it's shifted to the art of making sales. But like, let's be real, this is in every industry. This isn't just fitness. Anything. You can think of anything at all, the same thing applies. So, and there's not really a whole lot you can do about it.
At the end of the day, it's not up to, I mean, there's a give and take. You can say it's both parties' fault, right? It's the client's fault for thinking that they can get instant results through doing things quickly. And you could also say that it's the trainer's fault for advertising it and promoting it as
Oh,
such
yeah.
that you can get instant results. But what I see here is I don't think there's anything wrong with the product to say that you can do, you here's a 2 time per week workout program that only takes 20 minutes per workout.
Yeah.
You can sell it as that. You can sell
It's what
that.
you're promising, though.
Exactly. It's when you're
Yeah.
saying that this will lead to you being going from a regular dude that has never looked like they worked out before to being a Greek god. That's the issue.
That's the main issue. It really is. And again, two 20-minute workouts a week, and they justify it. They're anybody who sells this stuff isn't dumb. You know, they start off by saying like, but very rarely do they say that like you can get the results, the same results as the people putting in hours of work. They say that, and that's fucking wrong.
That's also a
That is
giant
dead
red
ass.
flag.
You think your two 20-minute sessions a week are gonna be the same as somebody going in and crushing, you know, one of the doesn't even have to be like a barbell-based training method, like what I coach. You think you're gonna have equal benefits as somebody that has a meticulously thought out push-pull legs program? Fuck no. Like, you think you're gonna do some bands in your garage?
Yeah,
Like
and get
some
the same
banded
results.
push-ups and like some sit-ups and some, you know, wall sits in your garage for 20 minutes is gonna have you having the same results? No. And yeah. But that's what they sell, so whatever.
Makes a lot of sense. And then I even saw, and this kind of alludes to what we talked about last episode, where we were talking about what's the minimum effective dose for you
Yep.
to just maintain, right? And even that minimum effective dose that we were talking about was still your compounds and hitting 2 to 3 exercises per workout.
Yep.
That's not easy work. And we're saying
No.
that is just to maintain. So what do
Yep.
you think it would take to build, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You can maintain it, but you need the work in the background. So I don't really know like if our message needs to be towards new people, but even when you want to take your level of training up, it requires a lot. So, like using myself as an example, I'm at this point where like I've got a pretty good level of strength, a pretty good level of conditioning. I could probably shred down a lot more if I wanted to. Like, if I wanted to have a photo shoot, I probably need to lose fucking like 40 pounds total, like to get down to that shredded look, right? But like I'm able to, you know, ruck around the neighborhood. I'm able to roll jujitsu 3, 4 times a week. I'm able to get my 4 training sessions in each week. I'm able to be on the platform coaching all this amount of time. So like if I wanted to become a sicko and like work myself up to way more like bigger lifts. Like if I was like dead set on trying to hit like a 600-pound deadlift, that would be a lot more intrusive from a training perspective than what I do now. So I'm like kind of in that maintenance mode, right? But like I feel like whenever there's something, there's a time when you need to like when maybe you have a big goal. So like if I wanted to get like photo shoot ready, that's going to be intrusive on my lifestyle. And if I wanted to spend the time as an advanced lifter taking my deadlift from, you know, 560 to 600, which every 5 pounds after 500 is just like there's dedicated training that you have to do. And some of the other stuff would have to go away for that to happen, you know? But like, it took me a long time to build up to this point where I can maintain this level of strength and do all the activities I do and not have it like negatively impact anything, right? So, and maybe you're the same way with some of this, you know, some of the stuff you're doing from a training perspective. It's like you get yourself up to a certain point, and then if you want to get really targeted in on something, you have to make more changes. But you've put in the time to get to that point. So there's that. And when we're talking about people that are selling the 2 20-minute workouts, they're selling the point they're at now for the people that are on the far end of the spectrum, where they need a long time of ramping up to get there. So it's like the other thing. Here's another one. Who's going to be farther ahead? So we have somebody that trains for 10 years. Say for 10 years straight, somebody just kind of does the half-assed 220-minute workouts a week for a period of 10 years. Now, the other person goes balls out and trains like a psycho for 5 years and then maintains for 5 years. At the end of that 10 years, who's going to look better? The guy who trained like a psycho for 5 years then maintained it, I think. Would you agree with that? You look like you're questioning it a little bit.
No, I think if you're training like a psycho, obviously. Right. Right. Because if you're half-assing it, you're never going to get half-assing it gets you half-ass results.
Yep.
You're never going to see much progress doing half-ass things. And I think that's the biggest difference between what you see. I don't want to say an average Joe, but sometimes you'll see people say they lift for 12 plus years and they don't look like they lifted at all. It looks like they haven't experienced progressive overload in their life. Whereas, whereas some guy that maybe did powerlifting or bodybuilding for a good 3-4 years, and then you meet them now and they said they've been maintaining for the last 4 years, 5 years, you can clearly see a difference in physique between those two individuals.
True. Yep.
It's maybe true. Maybe I look like I was questioning it because I was trying to think of examples of people.
Yeah. but I think the moral of the story is unless you are in that situation of being able to maintain on easy mode, like don't buy one of these programs that's basically just half assery. Know that you need to go full assery. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like you need to go full yard sale into it to make it happen for a long period of time. Before getting a little bit more specialized or just thinking you can maintain on 20 minute workouts a week. Like, I don't even know. Fuck, man. 20 minutes. That's like how long it takes for me to warm up to my working sets of squats. You know what I'm saying? What are you going to accomplish in 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Just drives me crazy.
Definitely not much unless the intensity is just so low that you can blow through more than two exercises.
Right. Like you do say, like you do a, what can you accomplish? You do like, even if it was body weight stuff. So say you did like a set of banded push-ups. If you're taking them to near failure or failure, you're going to need a few minutes of rest. Even if you go and do like some squats with a sandbag after, and you take those to failure, then what? So then now you're 10 minutes in and you've done, you know, a couple sets of each of those. And like, meanwhile, somebody else is warming up to their working weight of squats in the same amount of time. It's just from a result perspective. It's just asinine to think that that's the way that works. You know, you think about some of the bigger companies in the world, like, you know, what if Elon Musk, when he was building all of his businesses, like PayPal back in the day, or, you know, Bezos on Amazon, what if they had said like, oh, I'm going to build this business with 2 20-minute blocks a week, you know, that would have never worked. So it's the same thing. Whereas now they probably sit on the beach and like Elon Musk impregnates like 10 different women and has a bunch of mess of kids and he doesn't do shit besides like tweet. So like, I'm sure his work that he puts in now isn't nearly as much as it was back then.
100%.
It's just bigger decisions, I'm sure. So that's a good way of tying it in is like, you know, if you wanted to start a business or you get started on a new job or something, you probably don't just like half dick it. So why would you do that with your workouts? Commit all the time. So
really good point.
That's all my soapbox on this one.
I like it. All right. I think we can wrap this one up. I think we had a clear idea that we talked about, you know,
yep. And more
all the noise. You were going to say something?
And more. 2 20-minute workouts is not enough. That's all we're going to, I think we should leave it at that.
All right. Have a great day, everybody. Take care.